Tell me about this instrument.
Sure. Well, the instrument is called MAVIS, which is an acronym, stands for Multi-Conjugate Adaptive Optics Visible Imager and Spectrograph. And so that's a bit of a mouthful, so we just refer to it as MAVIS. And so MAVIS is a new instrument that that we're building for the Very Large Telescope, the VLT, in Chile, which is owned by the European Southern Observatory, ESO. So in 2017, Australia started a 10-year strategic partnership with ESO that gives Australian astronomers access to their telescopes in Chile, two sites there, but the primary one is the VLT, the Very Large Telescope, which actually is four telescopes, four 8-meter class telescopes. So some of the largest in the world, and they're all equipped with really powerful instruments. So this is, you know, a huge win for Australian astronomers to have access to these telescopes. But in addition to that, it also allows Australia to participate in the collaboration that is ESO, and that involves, getting contracts for building things, maintaining things. And of particular interest to us is to develop new instrumentation for the observatory. So really that partnership that opened the door to launch the MAVIS project. And at the same time, they've just commissioned a new capability there at the VLT. So they've turned one of their telescopes into what they're calling the adaptive optics facility. So I'll talk about adaptive optics, I guess, later. But basically, you know, they've equipped one of their telescopes such that it can correct for Earth's atmosphere, the distortions caused by Earth's atmosphere, and this created an opportunity to actually see what this facility could really do. And so they have already some powerful instruments there, which have demonstrated that this adaptive optics facility actually has a lot of potential. And so MAVIS is trying to take the next step to really capitalize on what can be done with this adaptive optics technology. So yeah, and to cut a long story short, basically MAVIS can correct for the distortions caused by Earth's atmosphere, and it's like having your telescope in space. So people are kind of familiar with the Hubble Space Telescope. That was such a powerful tool, and still is, because it doesn't suffer from the distortions of Earth's atmosphere. So basically it gives you perfect images. But it's a relatively small telescope. So if we can do the same in terms of delivering, perfect images essentially, but on a large telescope that we can easily build, or more easily build down here on the ground, that will be even, more sensitive and give us even sharper images. And so that's what MAVIS intends to do. It's pretty challenging. This kind of instrument has not been built before. In particular, it's trying to make these corrections, but at very blue wavelengths, so the same kind of wavelengths of light that our eyes are sensitive to. It turns out it's actually very difficult to do this adaptive optics at these kinds of wavelengths, but that wavelength range is really powerful. It's very rich in information for astronomers. There's lots of absorption and emission features there from stars and from gas, so it's a very rich information source, but it's just hard to do this adaptive optics there. So yeah, it's a pretty advanced piece of equipment. Australia is leading the project. So we actually have the primary expertise in this kind of adaptive optics technology, and also the experience to build imaging and spectrographs, which are the tools that we use. It's a consortium where Australia's about 50% of the consortium. There's a major aspect of it in Italy. So the ENAF, it's the National Institute for Astrophysics there, is the other major partner. And also the Laboratory for Astrophysics in Marseille is the third partner in the consortium. So it's a very international group to work in. It's a complex project. And so that plus COVID-19 has made it an interesting period to be trying to do this kind of thing. But actually the project's progressing really well.
So what type of objects is MAVIS going to be observing?
Yeah, well, the great thing about MAVIS is we're really aiming it to be a general purpose tool. So, adaptive optics is a relatively established technique at longer wavelengths where it's a bit easier. But even then, it tends to be a little bit niche, because you need to have reference sources nearby the thing you want to look at, you need to have a relatively bright star so that you can measure what the atmosphere is doing in real time. And so one of the great things about MAVIS is that it is opening up the sky to this technology. And it's doing that using multiple lasers. So we're going to have 8 laser beacons shining up into the sky. And that illuminates a part of the atmosphere about 90 kilometers above us and creates kind of what we call laser guide stars. They're not really stars. They're just bright point sources that we can use to measure what the atmosphere is doing. And because of the technique of adaptive optics that's being used, it's called multi-conjugate adaptive optics. But that's basically a fancy way of saying that we can correct a bigger patch of the sky, so we can make that corrected image over a larger area. And the combination of those things means that we can point over, you know, a large fraction of the sky. And so we can use this really for looking at essentially anything. And so it has a very broad science case, science application. And we're going to be looking at regions around stars in our own galaxy, out to resolving individual stars in other galaxies, and then looking back, you know, to the highest redshift, earliest times to look at the first star clusters information in the universe. So a very broad range of science applications.
So where in the suite of international telescopes, both on the ground and in space, does MAVIS fit in?
Right. Well, that's one of the key aspects, actually, of the instrument. Because of the way that this adaptive optics works and because of the way that telescope optics work, the kind of, you know, sharpness of image that we'll get with MAVIS is going to be basically the same as the sharpness of image that we'll get on the next generation of giant telescopes, the so-called extremely large telescopes. Astronomers are not terribly inventive when it comes to telescope names. So basically it means that on an 8-meter telescope like the VLT, the very large telescope, we can get the same resolution as what we'll get at infrared wavelengths, which is where these extremely large telescopes are really focusing. And so it's highly complementary to what these next generation telescopes are going to deliver. And in that sense, it's actually really critical, because these big facilities will be amazing. They'll have incredible sensitivity, but they'll really be geared towards far red, infrared wavelengths. And so MAVIS kind of fills that capability gap of bluer wavelengths.
When will MAVIS be up and running, ready to go?
So it takes quite a while to build these instruments. And just to give you a sense of scale, you know, it's not just a small box that we can carry off to the mountain in Chile. These instruments are pretty big. MAVIS will actually fill, you know, a sizable volume in the telescope dome. You know, it will be as high as a person. It will be, you know, several meters in diameter and so on. So it's a big instrument. Inside is a lot of complex optics that have to be assembled and tested and so on, brought together from these different countries. So overall, the project takes something like 6-7 years to come to fruition. So that means it will be on the telescope, we think, by early 2027. And that will be well timed for when this next generation of giant telescopes will be, you know, first casting their eyes to the sky. And so we hope that by the end of the decade, we'll be able to you know, be doing science with the instrument together with these extremely large telescopes and making a bunch of discoveries.